ಪುರವಗೆ ತುಜಮಾನಿ ಗೌರಮಾನಿ ಜಾಗೆ ಮಾನಿ ಗೌರ ಮಾನಿ ಜಾಗೆ ಹಾಕತ ಸಮೂಹ ಲೋಯ ಸಾಧೆ
ಜನಹಸ ತಾಹಿ ನಾ ನಾ ವಿಧ ವಿ
ಕಲ್ಯಾಣ ಸಾಧನ ಜಗತಿ ಆಸಿ ಮಧುರನ
Yesterday evening, not everybody that's here was here yesterday evening, so just a few messages from yesterday evening, particularly about our venue, Gita Nagari. I was speaking of Gita Nagari being a magical place, and the topic this morning is the magic of the holy name, taking shelter, saying yes to the holy name. Certainly, we're going to have lots of chanting of the holy name while here in Gita Nagari. So, the subject matter is going to be from a writing by Sanatan Goswami, Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Those of you that are new, yesterday we mentioned Jiva Goswami on the altar on the lower ledge on the far right. There's a photograph of six dear associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of them mentioned yesterday was Jiva Goswami, and his uncle and the senior most age-wise amongst the six Goswamis was Sanatana Goswami. I mentioned that Jiva Goswami wrote 3 commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sanatana Goswami wrote 1. Very amazing commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam called Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Brihat means great, and Amrita means nectar. Bhagavat Amrita, Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And the section that I want to focus on from Brihat Bhagavatamrita is the name, taking shelter of the name, saying yes deeply and more deeply and maximum. That's the, there's a part 2, there's a description of that, where the main character, Gopakumar, is taking shelter of the holy name. He's saying yes to Krishna through the holy name. It's very interesting, very instructive. So this song is also, this is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and I don't know if you noticed, some of you may know a little bit about raga. This is a morning raga, very similar to the same notes as our Mangal Arati song, morning. When the sun rises, part of my fascination and appreciation for this song is when going to Mayapur, there were 2 songs. This is one of the 2 songs that was sung after Mangal Arati and Guru Puja, or Tulsi Puja, or sometimes instead of Jai Radha Madhava. It's a Bengali song appropriate for the morning with the rising of the sun. And with the rising of the sun, what do? You say yes to the holy name. Of course, you can say yes all day long. Read the translation. The main emphasis goes to the last part, but as you hear, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his own beautiful poetic way describing, say yes to the gift of Lord Chaitanya, that is the pure holy name. Not just chanting, but pure holy name. When a tinge of red on the eastern horizon heralded the sunrise, the jewel of the twice-born, Lord Gaurasundar, immediately awakened. Taking his devotees with him, he went all over the countryside, visiting the towns and villages of Nadia. The mridangas resounded tatai, tatai. The cymbals chimed in time, and Lord Gauranga's footbells jingled as his golden form trembled slightly in ecstatic love of God. Lord Chaitanya called out to the townsfolk. You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. Now just fill your mouths with the vibration of the holy names. Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, Hari, chanting without offense. You have achieved this rare human body. Don't you care for this gift? If you do not worship the darling of Mother Yashoda now, then great sorrow awaits you at the time of your death. Each time the sun rises and sets, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and refuse to serve the Lord of the heart? Understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and full of all kinds of misery, so take shelter of the holy name as your only business. Desiring to bless all souls, the sweet name of Krishna has descended to the material world and now shines like the sun in the sky of the heart, destroying the darkness of ignorance. final line. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Bhakti Vinod. There is nothing but the holy name within all the 14 worlds. Of course, there's lots of other things in all of the 14 worlds, but nothing of substance. It's all comes and it goes, stays for some time, looks appealing. We try to be the enjoyer of that something and it goes. So that something that exists is that which is sat or substantial. The holy name. Take shelter of the holy name. Say yes to the holy name. That's our discussion this morning. So Brihat Bhagavatamrita has two parts. Part one is also very fascinating. The storyline is Narada Muni visits many, many, many places in search for the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. And rather than review, because there isn't time to review, many places, and very enthusiastically he goes from one place to the next place. Seeing what he sees, he declares, "You are the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord." And the humble, pure devotee of the Lord says, "No, no, no. Here's my disqualification. I'm not the greatest. But if you want to know who is the greatest, so-and-so, oh, they're the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord. Go quickly. Find that person. Take their association." So Narada zooms off and visits that place. And he sees, just as was described, because it's like, again, this is the person, then he sees the person, he sees the qualifications of the person, and he bursts out enthusiastically, "You're the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord." And the person, humble Vaishnava, says, "No, no, no. You don't understand. Here's my disqualification. But if you want to find the greatest recipient, there's this other Vaishnava. Go quickly and take their association." So he keeps doing this. And Sanatana Goswami at the end, because Sanatana Goswami not only wrote, he wrote the commentary so we would properly understand it. Very similar to Vyasadeva compiling the Vedas, and he wrote the commentary to explain the Vedas. They're all pure devotees. They're all pure devotees. And in the category of pure devotees, there is perfect, more perfect, most perfect. And the most perfect conclusion at the end of part one is the residents of Vrindavan, and amongst the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis are the greatest recipients of the mercy of the Lord. And Krishna declares this in the assembly of his queens, 16,108, actually it's 107, because Satyabhama is playing hard to get. So Krishna chastises, and bring that Satrajiti here, and she has to hear this too. So they all hear the particular feeling that Krishna has for the residents of Vrindavan in general and the gopis in particular. And why? They're the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord. And that ends part one. And part two begins with Sanatana Goswami saying, "That was just a warm-up," so that we can do the real Brihat Bhagavatamrita part two, which is in two parts, very extensive. And the storyline, it's more detailed, but the storyline is a cowherd boy from Vrindavan is appropriately named. His name is Kumar, because Kumar means a certain age, young, 5-6 years old. Kumar. And he's a cowherd boy, so his name is Gopa. There's gopis and there's gopas. There was a cowherd boy, Gopa Kumar. That's his name, Gopa Kumar. Again, there's details, but for simplicity's sake, Gopa Kumar is narrating his autobiography to a brahmana who is lamenting that he's not able to achieve the goal of life. What to do? You know that one. Not able to achieve the goal of life, what to do? So Gopa Kumar says, normally one shouldn't speak about oneself. But because of the confidential exchange that we have, and because I can't think of a better way to explain, I'll give you my life story so that you can understand how to achieve the goal of life. Some time ago, I, Gopa Kumar, along with my friends, we were performing the occupation of Vrindavan. We lived in Vrindavan, and we were taking care of the cows. 5-6-year-old boy. And in the course of taking care of the cows in the distance, I noticed one very attractive, spiritually attractive elder personality, a sadhu. And I just somehow became attracted to that sadhu. And so I would take some time and go and take the association of that sadhu and hear from that sadhu. And gradually over a period of time, I became attached to that sadhu. And then eventually I requested the sadhu, can you give me the name Diksha? Mantra Diksha. And the Brahmin was very affectionate in general, and particularly affectionate to this young Gopa Kumar, who he appreciated the qualities of Gopa Kumar very much. And so he agreed. He said, you go take your bath in the Jamuna. When you come back in that purified state, I'll give you mantra. And so the mantra was given. And in the course of giving the mantra, that's all he did, just uttering the mantra, he swooned in ecstatic love for Krishna and stood up and half delirious staggered away, and that was it. He just vanished. Gopa Kumar later says, he didn't give me any instruction. He didn't say, should I chant it aloud or silently? Should I chant it certain times of the day? Should I chant it continuously? What is its meaning? He just swooned in ecstatic love and walked away and disappeared. But the Brahmana told him, very important, the Brahmana told him, chant with great faith that this name will bestow upon you all desirable things. So that mantra was the Gopal mantra. It's referred to again and again. And for those of you that are interested, what's that? You'll find it in Sri Brahma Samhita. It's the same mantra, one of the mantras, that was given to Lord Brahma, identified as the Gopal mantra. Now the Gopal mantra is sometimes called the Madan Gopal mantra, because the deity of the Gopal mantra is Gopal or Madan Gopal. And Madan Gopal is another name of Madan Mohan, who was the worshipable deity of Sanatan Goswami, of course. So Sanatan Goswami is describing, you might say, himself, or at least one who has deep affinity for finding, being in the association with, and lovingly serve Madan Gopal or Madan Mohan. It's quite beautiful. So Gopal Kumar continued his childhood activity, a boy activity of taking care of the cows and chanting his mantra. And chanting his mantra, in his heart awakened this strong desire to see and be in the association with and serve in a very warm and personal way Madan Gopal. But he couldn't find Madan Gopal. He couldn't find Madan Gopal. Just like the six Goswamis, searching for Krishna in a mood of separation from Krishna. Some of you know the song. Hey Radhe, Brajadevi, K, Chalalite, Hey Nanda, Suta. So, searching for Madan Gopal, his heart was in turmoil. So he went to search for Madan Gopal. Many things happened in chapter one. One of them is he visited a king who had a deity, and he worshipped the deity very beautifully, wonderfully, gorgeously. And he stayed there for some time. Then he heard about Lord Jagannath. So hearing about Lord Jagannath chanting his mantra, he swiftly went to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Jagannath. And this comes as a refrain again and again. It has something to do with our Gaudiya tradition and the position of Lord Jagannath in our Gaudiya tradition, just like our Rath Yatras all over the world. The very first Rath Yatra in New York City, Prabhupada attended, and when he spoke about from the stage, it's recorded, he gave very esoteric description of what's the inner meaning of Jagannath Rath Yatra, which has a lot to do with the position or place in the heart and in the lives of Gaudiya Vaishnavas for Lord Jagannath. It's, in short, it's Krishna on the occasion of the solar eclipse. Krishna and the residents of Dwarka went to Kurukshetra, as did the residents of Vrindavan go to Kurukshetra, because that was the tradition. You go to Kurukshetra on the occasion of solar eclipse. And there was a reunion. They hadn't seen Krishna for a long time. And when they saw him in this opulent feature, the prince of Dwarka, they were happy to see him, but they didn't like to see him that way. And so they pleaded with him, come with us back to Vrindavan. Details and details. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita very beautifully. And so they wanted to put him on a cart, that's the Jagannath Rath Yatra cart, pull the cart with ropes, not with horses or elephants, and bring him to Vrindavan, which is the Gundicha temple where Jagannath leaves the temple and goes to the Gundicha temple in the mood of entering Vrindavan. And there he stays for some time and then returns back to the temple. It's a two-part Rath Yatra. Krishna also feels separation from the residents of Vrindavan. That was elaborately discussed in part one. So Krishna in Puri has great significance for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, followers of Lord Chaitanya. So he went to Puri and he saw Lord Jagannath, and he could just for hours and hours chant his mantra, seeing the deity of Lord Jagannath, and be very happy. And so the happiness gradually moved to the position, well, not Madan Gopal. And his heart was hankering for Madan Gopal, so he turned back to Vrindavan. And that's where chapter 1 ends. So I'm now going to summarize chapter 2. We'll get to the sweet parts in a moment. It's all very fascinating. So he's in Vrindavan, searching for Madan Gopal. His cowherd boyfriends don't seem to relate to him the same way, because he's in this Madan Gopal space. He's just hankering for Madan Gopal. They're cordial, but it's not the same. And as he's hankering for Madan Gopal, and hankering for Madan Gopal, and hankering for Madan Gopal, he wants to see the Lord of the universe. He decides, I'm going back to Puri. At least there I can see him uninterruptedly as Lord Jagannath. So he starts his journey back to Puri. And on the way, he comes to a place where there's many learned brahmanas. Remember, he's just a cowherd boy. He hasn't gone to school. He hasn't studied the Vedas. He's a simple boy. And he hears the brahmanas speaking about this place called Swarga Loka, heaven, where these very exalted personalities worship in person, not just the deity form as he saw the king and saw in Puri, but the personal form of the Lord of the universe. And here's how they worship him, this way, that way. And Gopakumar gets really interested to go and see the Lord face to face, in person. So what does he do? He chants his mantra. And along with mantra, there's the consciousness behind the mantra. That's, you know, you, us, each one of us. And each one of us has a intention when chanting the mantra. The Sanskrit that's used in this part two, standard term, is sankalpa. Sankalpa means intention. So with the sankalpa of seeing the Lord of the universe and the heavenly planets, he chants his mantra very strongly and sincerely. And guess what? A vimana descends, a craft from the heavenly planets descends and takes him to Indraloka. And he's looking around it. So the opulence of Indraloka is described. He's not attracted to the opulence. He is attracted to the fact that the Lord of the universe, who has appeared as the younger brother of Indra, comes regularly every morning and receives directly the worship of Indra. The elder brother is worshiping the younger brother because the younger brother is the Lord of the universe. And it's very intimate exchange, a very opulent exchange, a very affectionate exchange. He not only offers articles from a distance, he hands things to Vamana, who extends his hand and receives them. And sometimes pats his younger brother or elder brother with his hand. Very, very personal. And Gopakumar is awestruck. And he hasn't learned anything about paying obeisances, but he just naturally pays obeisances, because that's what you do when you're with somebody that's like that. And then this mood of love, I'm going to stay here. That's how he initially feels. And the Lord has personal exchanges with Gopakumar. You've been searching for me. Here I am. Please stay here. Just be with me. Very warm, very personal exchanges. Then something happens. The something that happens is Indra makes another boo-boo. Indra does something with some other person's wife, and he has to go off and do tapasya for that. So the demigods are now very concerned that the king of heaven is gone and there's turmoil in the heavenly regions, what to speak of all the rest of the universe. So Lord Vishnu, or Lord Vamana, says, appoint Gopakumar to be the replacement Indra till he comes back. So Gopakumar serves as Indra for one celestial year. One celestial year is a long time. Prabhupada would often say one day and night is 6 months and 6 months of our time. So one celestial year is a long time. And while serving in that capacity of the post of Indra, he doesn't do what Indra does. He goes on Sankirtan. He's spreading bhakti throughout the whole universe because he's the king of the universe. He's, you know, Bhakta Gopakumar. And he rules in the heavenly kingdom. It specifically says, because of the happiness he receives by the exchanges with Vamana, he overlooks the fact that, though there's dissension even in the heavenly planets, and there's disturbances from the daityas, but he overlooks that because he's so fixed on his wonderful exchanges with Lord Vamana, the Lord of the universe. And again, details about the affectionate exchanges between them. Something Vamana does, something that Gopakumar does. He offers things. He reaches out his hand. He receives them. He takes some and he gives them the remnants. And Gopakumar is ecstatic with this exchange. Imagine with the deity form, something like that. So he's ecstatic. And he keeps chanting his mantra. And after some time, periods of time, there's always the, you know, But sometimes Lord Vamana just disappears. He doesn't know where he's gone. Maybe he's gone to Dhruvaloka or Satyaloka or Swetadweep, or he just doesn't see him. And so he's not feeling in his heart satisfied. He's feeling restless. And more of those kinds of descriptions. Then Lord Vamana comes back and everything's nice again and the wonderful exchanges. And then he isn't seen again for some time. So he's, I want to be with, I think I'll go back to Jagannath Puri and see Lord Jagannath. He starts contemplating, I don't want to not see the Lord of the universe. Then this amazing thing happens, where some sages come and all the demigods stop and they go and pay their obeisances and worship these great sages. So he asked the demigods, who are they? You're worshipped by people all over the world and you're worshipping these people. Who are these people? Where are they from? And who's the Lord that they engage in serving? So the demigods are a little jealous. But the Brihaspati, being asked, that the priest of the demigods, he's Brahmana, so he's liberal, he explains. These are Prajapatis, they're progenitors of mankind, those that populate the universe with good praja, and their place of rest, so that's who they are, And the place of residence is Maharloka. Above this region, heaven, there's multiple other regions. The one directly above us is Maharloka. And that's where they're from. And the Lord that they worship is the Lord of sacrifice. And they just continuously engage in sacrifice. And the Lord of sacrifice, you know what? He not just is the fire, he shows himself from the fire, extends his hands, and receives everything that they offer. And as soon as the sacrifice is over, he disappears. And so they hurry up and do the next sacrifice so they can continuously see him. So Gopal Kumar gets really curious and interested, and he doesn't stop chanting his mantra. He takes shelter of his mantra because his guru said, this mantra will bestow upon you all desirable things. So he starts this desire to go to Maharloka, chanting his mantra with that sankalpa. Guess what? This vimana, this craft, just descends and invites him to get on board, and he goes to Maharloka, chanting his mantra. And when he gets to Maharloka, he's amazed because these personalities, the demigods were great, but these personalities are just, no one instructed him what to do, but he just paid his obeisances, and little boy just fell at their feet and appreciating their greatness. And he watches what they're doing, and same as he heard what happens, continuous yagyas, and there comes Lord Vishnu extending his four hands, receiving everything that they offer. You know, when we're doing fire sacrifice, we say mantras and you pour ghee and offer grains and say swaha. So it's said that the fire is the tongue of Vishnu, and his tongue is receiving the ghee and the grains through the agency of mantra. Swaha. So it wasn't just a fire, it was the Lord appeared from the fire. And he was also very affectionate and spoke to Gopal Kumar and offered things that he had received from the great sages to Gopal Kumar. You please take. I'm staying here. And after some time, the sages, they developed some affection for Gopal Kumar. And they said, you know what? Why don't you receive Brahminical initiation? You're born in a cowherd community, a Vaishya. But if you like, we can give you initiation into Brahminical status, and you can stay here and see the Lord of the universe to your heart's content. You've been searching and searching for the Lord of the universe. You see what we do. Just stay with us. So Gopal Kumar considers, and his thoughts are, you know, I like being a Vaishya. And I like, if I do what they're encouraging, then I'll just see the Lord of Sacrifice along with them. But if I don't, then I can worship them and the Lord of Sacrifice at the same time. So I think I'll just stay in that position. Plus, my guru that gave me my Gopal mantra, I have yet to fulfill the purpose of this mantra. The purpose of the mantra is to be in the association of Madan Gopal and intimately serve him eternally in a very personal and direct way. I haven't achieved that yet. And so it would be ungrateful of me to not continue. I'm going to read now the verse in the purport. This is chapter 2, text 28 of part 2. For fear of being ungrateful, I never gave up my japa, nor for a moment was I able to forget this Brajabhumi. This Brajabhumi means he's speaking to this Brahmana in Brajabhumi. Commentary. This is Sanatana Goswami explaining. From Gopal Kumar's point of view, the life of tending cows in Vrindavan was far more attractive than any other circumstance, including residence in Nandana Vana is the forest or the garden place of the demigods. As long as he continued chanting his mantra, this attitude could not be covered by illusion, because the natural gift of Sri Madan Gopal's mantra was to attract the heart to the Lord's sports in Vrindavan. Wanting to avoid being ungrateful, Gopal Kumar never stopped chanting. He might justify abandoning the mantra only after attaining his final goal. If he were to stop chanting before then, he would not discover the mantra's full benefits. Thus, to stop the chanting prematurely would amount to ingratitude, for without having bothered to receive all the mantra's benefits, how could he properly acknowledge them? Very beautiful, huh? How can we properly acknowledge a gift that we've been given if we don't have an understanding of the gift? The fullness of the gift. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. This kirtan that we all engage in, and kind of, we enjoy it, and kind of take it for granted, and, you know, it's rhythmical and musical, and that feature makes kirtan a little easier than mantra chanting. I've heard that from some devotees. It's easier to stay fully attentive when in kirtan. We're going to have a fantastic kirtan tonight. Please come. But when chanting japa, it's much easier for the mind to wander because those social interactions and the musicality and the rhythm and the... It's just three things. It's you, the name, and your mind. The mind. Our dear friend, the mind, that is filled with longings and desires, especially passionate ones, fruitive ones, wanting to get something and enjoy that something that we got. And what's fruitive about japa? So the inspiration goes down unless we have what is inspiring Gopal Kumar. So that's the appeal. That's the message I wish to convey this morning. Gratitude. This isn't something that I've read in scripture. It's something that I've learned and I like to say it. Gratitude is the seed of love. Gratitude is the seed of love. Just like many of you are parents, and the life of parenting is a life of sacrifice. And a life of sacrifice from parents isn't begrudging. It's parents love being parents. Mothers love being mothers. When I look and see what mothers do, it's like, yikes. Without the detail. But mothers love being mothers. They love cleaning up the messes. They love wiping bottoms. And they love, you know, when the child cries, to feed the child because they know that's what the cry means. They're hungry. And mothers love being mothers. And even when their children grow up, they're still mothers. And the children are saying, well, you know, I'm grown up now. I love you, Mom. Let me be an adult, please. And they want to still be mothers. They have to just like change the channel of being mother in a different way. But to teach a child from the parents that are sacrificing, not just to say please and thank you, but to feel, this is real parenting, to awaken feelings of gratitude. Not easy. Behavior is one thing. Feelings of gratitude is another thing. So here's on the spiritual plane, this little boy, 5, 6, he has feelings of gratitude for something he really doesn't understand. Later instructions are going to come from his guru. But he doesn't have all those instructions. We have lots of instructions. Too many instructions. Our head spins, there are too many. Make it simple. Give me an easy one. So here's one. Right here. Experience the fullness of the gift of the holy name. Because otherwise one would be guilty of ingratitude. Because without experiencing the fullness of the holy name, how can you be truly grateful of the gift? Now, the giver of the gift is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in disciplic succession, others are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give the gift. But the gift, just like this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the pure holy name, Shuddhanam, receive Shuddha, and so there's things we have to do to get to Shuddhanam. And it's avoid offenses. But how are you going to avoid offenses? The mind's wicked, our dear friend, the mind. It's filled with so many distractions. And some are not nice. Some are nice. But they're all distractions. So how do we... A powerful, essential element is what we're hearing in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. The sense of wishing in this relationship with his mantra-giving guru to experience the fullness of the gift that he has received. That is, the commitment to the guru and the commitment to the gift. So although he is attracted over here, and he goes over here, and he's attracted over there, and he goes over there. This is actually from the heavenly regions. He never stopped chanting. And the purpose of the chanting, in one sense, is to directly experience being in the personal association of Madan Gopal. If you remember from yesterday, those of you that weren't with us, you'll hear it for the first time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 102. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one who takes shelter of the holy name, heart and soul, I accept them as my confidential associate. Krishna. Like, you know, these names, Mukunda, Madhava, Hari, Yadava, Krishna. Accepts, you take shelter, not just behavior, but you give your heart. You say yes from your heart, not just with your mouth, same as what Lila Smarna was saying yesterday. With your heart, you say yes to Krishna. There's stages, and there's stages of distraction. But keep saying yes from your heart, and you'll get there. Gopal Kumar gets there. So that was in the heavenly planets. Now, Brighu Muni, you've heard of the name Brighu Muni. Brighu Muni is one of the direct sons of Lord Brahma. He's one of the Prajapatis. He lives in Maharloka. He's the spokesperson for that group. Although Marici is the elder, Bhrigu is the spokesperson. Bhrigu is the spokesperson, commentary of Sanatan says, because he's most elevated in bhakti amongst all of them. Because the Prajapatis, there's a mix. There's devotion, and it's not Shuddha Bhakti. And Bhrigu is considered. It's in Srimad Bhagavatam without details. He's very, very elevated. Amongst the sages, they consider him particularly elevated. So he's the spokesperson. So Gopa Kumar being invited by Bhrigu, why don't you just become a brahmana and stay here and be with us and be with the Lord of Universe like your heart is desiring. Gopa Kumar considers, for these brahmanas performing sacrifice is the only interest in life. If I were to become one of them, surely I will become lax in the chanting. I am duty bound. To continue, my divine guru taught me to worship this mantra, and besides, I have already seen its good results. Commentary. The 10-syllable Gopal mantra had already proven its efficacy by elevating Gopakumar to the position of a king on earth, Indra on Swargaloka, and a resident of Maharloka. It's a powerful mantra. So our primary mantra is Maha Mantra, and then after some time we receive Gayatri Mantras, one of them being this Gopal Mantra in disciplic succession. You can read it in a book and chant it. It won't have the same efficacy without having received it, by having it uttered by Guru. Later, when Gopakumar makes it to Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna says, I was the guru that gave you your mantra. And it's our part of our theology. Although the guru gives the mantra, it's Krishna, tattva, through guru tattva, Krishna comes in disciplic succession. Krishna and guru are to be seen not as identical one-to-one, but Guru is representative of Krishna, and thus Krishna is acting through his representative. So he's spending time in Maharloka. And same thing happens as each of the other places he goes to. He starts feeling a little restless. The Lord of the Universe that comes from the fire, it's so sweet and so wonderful and all those good things, but it's not Madan Gopal. I want to go back to Vrindavan. The residents of Maharloka, the little scene says that they, they have to leave Maharloka at the end of one day of Brahma, during the night of Brahma. So one day of Brahma is 1,000 cycle of the four yugas on the lower planets, Earth, Bhuvarloka, and Svargaloka. After 1,000 yuga cycles, that's the end of Brahma's day. And during Brahma's night, there's a partial dissolution. And it's first is no rain, and then fire, because everything is dry. It ignites, and it gets so hot in Maharloka, they have to go up. So they go to Janaloka or Tapaloka. So he realizes it's temporary. And then when that night is over, then everybody comes back, and then they can see Vishnu again. But for that period, so he doesn't like that. Then this amazing thing happens. This little boy of about the same age as him turns out to be Sanat Kumar, clothed only by the four directions. In other words, naked little boy. He just shows up. And he's sitting in meditation, and all these Prajapati sages, they stop their yajna, and they go and pay obeisances to this little boy and start worshiping him, including the Lord of Sacrifice worships him, because the Lord worships the Brahmanas, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, like Krishna and Dwarka worshipped Sudama. The Lord of the universe worshipped this little boy. Madan Gopal's saying, who's he? And why are these exalted persons who are above the demigods, and the demigods are worshipping them, they're worshipping him. Who's he? And where does he come from? Same three questions. And who is the Lord that he worships? So Bhrigu is the one that responds, and he says, this is Sanat Kumar. He's elder to us. Not only he appeared from Lord Brahma before we appeared from Lord Brahma, so he's elder to us in that way. He is spiritually vastly superior. He's filled with knowledge, and he's filled with meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We revere him. We hear from him. We respect him. We worship him. That's who he is. And that's his qualification. And he resides in Tapaloka. In Tapaloka, it's above where we are, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka. So, Gopal Kumar starts developing a desire. Go check it out. What's Tapaloka like? So what does he do? Chants his mantra. With the sankalpa, that he would like to experience the Lord as the residents of Tapaloka experience the Lord. Now the commentary explains Maharloka is where their Prajapatis, which means their grihasthas, they're not interested in material happiness of any kind, including male-female attraction. They do as a service for the Supreme Lord. However, in Tapaloka, it's celibates only. That's one of the rules. And in that condition, in Tapaloka, they have two main activities. The favorite activity is meditation. And in that meditation, they see uninterruptedly the Supreme Lord. Not just meditating, hoping for something. They see the Supreme Lord. And so their meditation lasts for a long time because they don't want to leave that darshan of the Supreme Lord in their meditation. And after a long time, then they take a meditation break and go have discourses on spiritual topics. Take a little prasad, take a little nap, and go back and do meditation because that's their thing. Tapaloka. So he chants his mantra and he gets transported to Tapaloka. And there's this fascinating discussion, long discussion, could be confusing discussion from the residents of Tapaloka to Gopal Kumar saying, why are you looking for Madan Gopal? The logic they give goes like this. Before you can see something, it has to exist in your mind. You can't see it otherwise. So that's what we do. We just see in our mind the Lord of the universe. So just stay here and be a meditator with us. It sounds like interesting. And he does, and he can see the Supreme Lord in meditation. But he never stopped chanting his mantra. So here's the text. It's text 83. Nevertheless, I stayed there for some time, attracted by the display of great power. Out of respect for my guru's order, and because I had seen how effective my mantra was, I kept on chanting. Commentary. The atmosphere of Tapaloka weakened Gopakumar's resolve to see the Lord, but he still persevered in chanting his japa. His guru had ordered him, never stop chanting, and Gopakumar did not want to be ungrateful by disobeying. Embedded within this narration are many wonderful instructions, and I'll just touch on them, that it's on the theme of say yes to Krishna. Say yes to Krishna in the form of his holy name. The name of Krishna is Krishna, and Krishna is the source of everything, so within the name, everything. And everything could be something temporary. So persons chant with the hankering for something temporary. It happens. Please help me pass my exam. There's a whole long list. I don't need to make the long list. But the power of the holy name, if one has this qualification of deeper qualification, there's a mix. He's not yet unmixed. He has these other curiosity items, at least, and that they're Lord-centered. How do they worship the Lord? So and so forth. So he's through the narration, we're getting a tour of the cosmic manifestation, and coming up is beyond the cosmic manifestation. The whole Vedic cosmology and the spiritual sky. Gopakumar is taking us on a tour. So sankalpa, your intention when chanting, is really important. Even if you're a mixed devotee, you're not yet a pure devotee, that higher, both hankering is one consideration. He wants Madan Gopal, and he's not satisfied with anything other than Madan Gopal. He also has this relationship with his guru, where he wants to be grateful to his guru by experiencing the fullness of what that mantra, so it's the guru-disciple relationship is very significant in achieving all that say yes to Krishna in the form of his holy name is meant to achieve. If that relationship is weak, then going forward it will also be slow, if not, you know, negligible. So receiving mantra is important. Having faith in the mantra is important. Having gratitude towards the giver of the mantra is important. Gradually, he's becoming educated. You'll see, as you continue reading, he hears from Narada, he hears from Uddhava, he hears from great personalities, all kinds of things that he never heard because he never went to school, didn't have spiritual or material education. And as he hears, then the clarity comes, and it just reinforces, it strengthens his determination to achieve the goal, and finally he achieves the goal. Now, in his case, his little boy, Kumara, 5-6-year-old boy, form doesn't change. For us, our forms change. We get older and things start to happen. And whether it's in this lifetime or multiple lifetimes or whatever it takes, the determination should be to say yes to Krishna in the form of his name. And everything is there. Making reference, and I'll conclude with this because it's already 9:20. We heard yesterday evening Jiva Goswami explaining there are two types of taking shelter, two categories of taking shelter. One is a declaration. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am yours. I have no other shelter but you. And then The other is by power of discrimination, eliminating this, eliminating that, eliminating the other thing, leaving Krishna. So in one sense, what Gopa Kumara is doing is that second one. He's eliminating other things. And there's principles that are operating and helping him make those wise choices. But it's bhakti. These are elements of bhakti that lead to Shuddha bhakti, that lead to the Shuddha nam stage of chanting. It's a very, the text is very deep and profound. The story is very interesting. And it's easy to get lost in the story. But it helps being attracted to the story to get the essences, so you read it again and again, and essences come out that you didn't understand before. It's so beautifully written, Sanatana Goswami. So there it is. Say yes to Krishna in the form of his holy name, with great faith. We may get distracted, we may take wrong turns and so forth. Stay with the holy name, with faith, in gratitude, wishing to have the fullness of gratitude for those in our disciplic succession that have given the pure holy name. Let us strive for that. Any discussion? Way in the back.
The Guru Maharaj, regarding Gokumar, like he had something, he had faith in something unknown, like he has not reached Krishna Loka yet. And he has faith in his own feelings, like he was restless and he didn't like certain things and he liked certain things and he followed those inspirations. So I want to understand a little bit more on this, like for us, for me, the goal of achieving fullness of holy name is unknown, and is faith in the mantra and the spiritual master. But there has to be some element of knowing what the feelings or the inspirations, whether they are rightly directed or they are, you know, taken.
I got the question. Guru Sadhu Shastra. His situation is unique in that he doesn't have the Bhaktivedanta purports. We do. And we have persons who we can approach who are accomplished in the Shastra. So that the ultimate is the Shastra, and we have the means through the knowledge of disciplic succession given to us so simply and eloquently and elegantly in the Bhaktivedanta purports. That's how we can verify those three checks and balances. That's an asset that we have that Gopa Kumar didn't. So we don't just have to, you know, get out our compass and see which way it points. We refer to Guru Sadhu Shastra.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, when trying to chant and cultivate a mood of confidence or faith in the holy name, I find it easy to kind of lose humility with the confidence. You know, you get a little bit of confidence, but the humble mood kind of goes away.
Yeah.
I was wondering how to kind of differentiate the two.
Well, what you just said is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in Madhurya Kadambini. There's two phrases he uses. One of them is taranga rangani. Ranga means wave, like Ranganath, the lord of Swetadweep that resides on the ocean of milk. Ranga, ni is diminutive, small waves, rangani. And taranga rangani means enjoying the small waves. So there's a little success and we want to be the enjoyer. Surf's up, let's get out the surfboard and enjoy. So that's unsteadiness in bhakti. It's a symptom in his description of anishtita bhakti. So right on the mark. So what to do? What to do is recognizing the tendency to be the enjoyer of a little success. We stay in that position of the humble mood, of shelter taking. And we cultivate that. You say yes to the humble mood and say no to the enjoying mood. It doesn't mean the success stops, but the enjoyer of that success is the Lord who we're making the offering of our service to. And that if some happiness, if it happens at that stage, what's going to happen at the higher stages? Okay, you just fall in the river. Not just get distracted. It's a principle that at the stage where you are or any one of us is, if there's a little success, what do? We look at Krishna and say, you're very kind. I'm undeserving of this kindness. It's just your kindness. Let me stay in this humble mood. I was wrong last night about, the sequence. So it's exactly the mood of Sudama. So become familiar with that narration and adopt the mood of Sudama, whether it's this or that. The humble mood of service is the place to go. Yeah? There's two more. Our schedule says to stop at 9:30.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. My question is for the Sankalpa. One of the things that I was contemplating, like when you were saying that when we are chanting, it's me, the holy name and the mind. And when this Sankalpa of achieving the gift of Lord Chaitanya in fullness, I feel like that's a long-term Sankalpa. Yeah. And then at the same time, for the efficacy of this holy name or chanting to happen, I have to very clearly define the short term, like in the sense of incrementally, so the clearer my goal is, the more efficacy would be there in me taking steps in that direction.
Yes. Yes.
So if you can help me in bringing that down to at my stage or in a daily japa.
Well, sure. Yeah. No problem. Prabhupada does it. In the purport of the last verse of chapter 3, canto 1, he uses the phrase rapt attention, R-A-P-T, rapt attention. And he says, it's in relation to Srimad Bhagavatam, and the verse says, one can see Krishna in every page if one hears with rapt attention. So Prabhupada gives in order to have rapt attention, you have to have this. In order to have this, you have to have that. In order to have that, you have to have that. Be pure in one's habits of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Then he says, well, somehow or other. So there's levels. And a little bit, for example, a little bit like the question that Acharya Nishtha asked yesterday evening, how do we make a balance between working with that which matches my capacity right now, the regulation that I can achieve, and striving a bit further? So that's very individual, person to person, and as discussed, it's even from time to time within an individual, it may need to be calibrated differently. So it's part of it is self-honesty, capacity to be introspective. A big element of that is how well we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And because Srimad Bhagavatam has the power to illumine the heart was my capacity. What are my qualities? Spirit qualities, the positive. And what are the negatives? Through the hearing process, that can become more illumined. So a lot has to do with how well, you know, from our present position, how well we can hear. And then guidance from others that are well-wishers and know us well, and we're open. We disclose our hearts and we take guidance. Again, you know, something similar to what we heard back here, Atulia's question. Don't just go by our inspirations. We go by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We take... If just open it up more broadly. Read Prabhupada's books very carefully and you'll understand. Read Prabhupada, it's there. And if the heart is open, it'll be very clear. And then guidance when you have some refined question, as you are very good at doing. You ask, you know, specific and subtle questions pertinent to your life. And again, there's recalibration depending upon circumstances change. The outside changes, the inside changes, and we may need to recalibrate due to those circumstances, inside and outside. Last question because of time.
Good
I
morning.
Spoke too long. I should have allowed more time for questions. But it's a nice story.
Guru Maharaj, as you were mentioning about the duty-boundedness to follow the instructions of spiritual master, I feel very strong duty-boundedness in the office work or household duties, even though they are temporary, but it was striking for me that I don't have any of that feeling for the spiritual instructions. How do we...
How do you...
Cultivate... And my other part is...
How do you move the fulcrum over to that side a little bit further? That's what your question is?
And do we have to go through that 20, 25 years of material training that we have gone through?
Well, no. The question you're asking is one of the themes that we had here in Gita Nagari some time ago, acceptance and progress. That was the theme. So your articulation is, this is where I'm at. That's the acceptance part. And then the progress part is something similar to Shubhra's question, that is, you know, the goal is really far away. So what about from where I am? So the acceptance, the goal is really far away. What's some doable step? Something similar to that little exercise that we did in Naperville. So, there are lots of things not to do. The thing to do is, what's a progressive step or two that I can take and maintain, sustainably maintain, and move in the right direction? And a big part of it, like Gopal Kumar, is the connection with the persons who are guiding me in my Krishna consciousness, not just my determination. That's the mind. And we know what happens. We get, you know, nauseous. Vomit over the side of the railing, you know. I've done this too many times. So we need something more than the mind. We need that descending mercy element. So that descending mercy element, we make the commitment to the... Because the spiritual well-being is going to take care of the other things. Better than you can do. But that's a matter of faith. And so faith has to grow in a natural way. Like a garden... doesn't happen because you want, you know, asparagus and tomatoes. I'll go put some seeds in the ground and I'm going to tap my foot saying, hurry up, will you? Take time. So perseverance over time. And the perseverance element comes through the relationship. It's not just the mind. We know what happens to the mind. It's chanchala. Then it's strong, and then it's not so strong. And then we're distracted, even when it's, you know, somewhere in between. So that descending mercy is really important. Really important. And then how do we connect with that descending mercy? We're getting some very nice instruction here. Gopal Kumar is an acharya for how to go the next step and keep going and sustain the next step. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.